Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Either to you who are new to the Orthodox faith, or perhaps have been Orthodox the entirety of your lives, but have found it difficult to really penetrate deeply into the depths of the faith. Because if there is one thing that is certain about our Holy Orthodox faith, it is this. Certainly, on the surface, it is beautiful, it is inviting, and it is complete. But we scratch the surface and we go deeper and deeper and deeper into the writings, into the prayers, into the faith in all of its glory, it becomes that much more substantial. That's the amazing thing about Orthodoxy. The more we read, the more we go, the more we understand, the clearer it becomes, and the more authenticated our faith is. Rather than start questioning things, poking around a little bit, asking around what we really believe, and then finding, wow, we're not really based on anything at all. The things that the priest says and really don't match what the Bible says, and the hymns and the prayers of our church really don't mesh. Thank God our faith has been given to us complete and whole. That's not to say, however, that it cannot be intimidating, as I say, the deeper we go. Last November, I had an opportunity, I can't believe it's almost a year ago, to attend a conference on the island of Rhodes sponsored by the Ecumenical Patriarchate's Initiative for Pastoral Health. That sounds like something good that a priest should go to, right? So you can learn to minister to your people. And an organization I was with helped to sponsor this event. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go. It's on Rhodes. That'll be fun. So who wouldn't want to go to Rhodes for a week? So I went. And there were very few priests like myself, parish priests who wanted to, again, as I said, learn to minister to the faithful. The great majority of the participants, not only the speakers, but those who were listening, were pretty much all PhD-level scholars in some aspect of not only pastoral health, but mental health, medical health. There were priests for sure, but there were a lot of them that were doctors and surgeons and psychiatrists. I thought, wow, I had to kill myself to get through theological school. You went to medical school and you went to theological school? But there are those people that are out there. And most of the discussions were in Greek, and like we were in the UN, we had the little earbuds and we listened to a translator. And there were times, I have to admit, thought, wow, this might as well just be in Katharevousa Greek. I don't understand a word that they're saying. It's like if you go to a Shakespeare play for the first time. It's in English, but it's not in English. So you're listening to what these amazing people are saying about the faith. And it was deep, and it was hard, and I got some things out of it. And it made me feel, it's like, you know what, maybe this is sometimes how people in general feel about our Orthodox faith. Or if it's in a language we can't understand as we worship. Or if just we're speaking so highly theological that it misses a practical note. If we're engaged in the readings of the Philokalia, or even the beautiful book that we commemorate on the fourth Sunday of Lent, St. John Climacus' Ladder of Divine Descent. It's one thing to commemorate it on a week of Lent, but if you've actually read the book, it's difficult. It's hard. Not only the language, but what the book commands us to do. It can be very intimidating indeed. So then we feel sometimes we have to put all that aside and say, we need to simplify and just listen to what Jesus said. Remember the whole what would Jesus do question a few years ago. It was kind of a mantra, and it caught fire in the entirety of the Christian world. A simplistic question, seemingly. But even Jesus Christ himself often confused his disciples. He often confused his listeners because he did things that they might not expect him to say or to do. Remember when he told Peter that he was going to Jerusalem in order to suffer and to die? Peter's reaction was one of confusion. Remember when he was told that his friend, his good friend, some might say his best friend, Lazarus, was sick and was even dying, and they needed Jesus to rush to his side in order to minister to him? What did he do? Kind of tarried a little bit. He was in no rush. You can imagine the anxiety of the people around him, expecting him to run to his bedside. He got there slowly. Remember the centurion's daughter, who was also sick and was dying in her bedside. Now, he went there quickly, but again, much to the confusion of those around him, because they wouldn't expect Jesus to do this, what did he do? He engaged in a conversation with the woman with the flow of blood. He sat there for a while. He asked, "Who touched me in this huge crowd?" His disciples, you could feel it in the pages of the Bible. They're getting anxious and impatient about what he's doing. So even to think, what would Jesus do at times, it's not always going to be a simple answer. The Samaritan woman that he spoke to at the well, to be there by himself in the company of a woman, alone, in the middle of the day, at a well, completely socially unacceptable. So it's not as easy. What would Jesus do? Sometimes it is easy. Sometimes it's crystal clear what he asks. And thankfully, we have such an occasion on today's gospel reading. Today, the reading is taken from the 6th chapter of Luke's gospel. And although St. Matthew talks about a similar situation as the Sermon on the Mount, I think we hear that a little bit more. It's easier on our ears to hear Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. But Luke is very specific. When he talks about this is the sermon on the plain. In other words, the level place. And this is important because the level place is the place where we're all together. We live in a valley. We understand what it means to be up in the mountain, to live on the side of the mountain, and to look down where everyone else is. There's not a lot of industry or action going on up on the high east benches. Those are for homes. But most of those people who live in those homes still have to come down into the valley with the rest of the people in the valley and interact and exchange and engage in relationships. And this is the setting that Luke is describing for us. Everyone is listening to Jesus' words on a level place, coming from different perspectives, different circumstances, even different ethnicities and with different languages, but they're all listening to him at the same time. And what does he tell them, among many other things, but in today's gospel specific? As you wish that men would do unto you, do so to them. The golden rule, right? Now, the golden rule is not he who has the gold rules. The golden rule is this. You treat others as you want to be treated by them. And I have to submit to you that even this is kind of confusing. It's another little sidewinder from Jesus because he is establishing and he is basing an absolute commandment around the subjective reality of our individualism. How you want to be treated, you treat others that way. Well, we all want to be treated differently. Maybe some people want to be treated badly, so they're going to treat other people badly and get away with it. That's not what Jesus is saying. What is amazing is the individuality and the universality of this statement all at the same time. And that's the point. It is deeply personal. The kingdom of God is deeply personal. Hopefully we all achieve through each other's prayers and interaction with each other on that level place an opportunity to attain the kingdom. But it will be granted to each and every one of us as individuals. And by God's grace and through our experience, we will attain this blessedness. And so that's why Jesus is telling us we have to act as the way that we wanted to be treated. It is so important for us to understand this. So then, now it gets pretty simple. If we want to be able to receive, we need to be generous. If we want to be loved, we need to be loving. If we want to be included, we also need to include into our little circles, our little cliques. If we want to be respected, we must honor everyone around us. If we want to be heard, we must listen. If we need assistance, we must also be able to lend a hand. The golden rule. It does not take a PhD in theology to figure this out. Amen.